Golfers, welcome back to the On Par Podcast. I'm looking forward to talking to the CEO of Allego Golf, Tom Guy. He's a returning friend of the program. Looking forward to talking to him about Allego and how it's evolved recently, especially in the face of the pandemic. But first, a word from our sponsors. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Rossi of Cornell University. As the stewards of New York's golf courses, superintendents are dedicated to protecting our natural resources. In heavily developed areas like Long Island, golf courses offer large expanses of open space that provide environmental benefits, such as allowing water to infiltrate into the ground naturally and providing habitat for native species such as bees and butterflies. To help manage golf courses in harmony with the environment, the state's golf industry has established a comprehensive best management practices program to educate and serve as a resource for superintendents. For more information, see our website at nysgolfbmp.cals.cornell.edu.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family featuring three different models designed for the better player to our JPX family featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
All right, we're back. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by the CEO of Allego Golf, Tom Guy. Tom, how are you doing today?
Anthony, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And first, I just want to say I hope that you and the family are safe and sound during these strange times and everybody's doing well.
Yeah, everyone's good and I'm still married. So no issues there.
Yeah,
we've
right.
Been spending a lot more time together.
Yes, I know. I'm in this. I'm still married as well. So that's so we've got that going for us. So let's just I just want to remind people. I know you've been on the program before, but just for those who maybe didn't listen to the original podcast or show as it was then, maybe just give a little brief history of yourself and Allego.
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, thanks for having me back. Allego is an invitation-only private golf membership that was founded by a gentleman by the name of Warren Pike about 13 years ago in Europe. It was actually set up for 20 individuals and five golf courses originally, and over time it grew to a stage where now we have over 400 members in Europe and 85 golf courses, and we're pretty much sold out.
Wow.
The only way Elite, yeah, it's grown into quite the special membership. And in fact, it was voted the fifth most desirable golf membership in the south of England.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, just in like a 10, 12 year period, they were able to create that. The only way Allego grows is by region. Because we deal with pretty premium private golf clubs, the only way we grow is by region. So essentially, we launched the metropolitan area region, so New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're looking for around 200 individuals there. And then we also launched in Pennsylvania. Same idea of Pennsylvania and a little South Jersey there. And we basically pair up those two regions with South Florida for the wintertime. So it's a 12-month membership.
Fantastic.
Which is pretty fun. It's pretty cool as well because we employ golf pros and we're a fully functional club. So our pros are out playing golf, or when I say pros, that, you know,
teaching professionals. You know,
yeah, teaching professionals, amateurs, high quality amateurs that basically their job is to play golf and make sure our members are getting what they want out of their membership, which is a lot of fun for them. Obviously, they're getting out and making sure, if you were a member, Anthony, you would get phone calls from our staff constantly saying, Anthony, let's play golf here. You haven't played in a week or two. Let's see if you want to join this member game. And then we run events and everything for our guys. So it's definitely a lot of fun.
How many events roughly throughout the season? Obviously, guys can call each other to play. Guys and girls can call each other to play randomly or whatever. How many Aligo events would you run, either tournaments or gatherings?
Well, most of our members are members of other clubs already.
Uh-huh.
They see us as a second or third membership, but we do have the young, not necessarily young, actually, but we do have members in Manhattan that join us before they join a private club.
Uh-huh.
And they see us as a bridge to private golf. Perhaps they're just getting into golf. And as you probably know, private golf can be intimidating, where
sure.
we can help be that bridge where they're living in Manhattan, they're not sure where they want to join. They use the Aligo for a year or two and then end up joining one of our clubs. So that's always useful. But with the events, we run these member games every week, which are on a Wednesday, Friday, and then a Sunday. That they're not big events. They're just like at one of our partner clubs where we're running, seven members show up with one of our pros and they go play.
Gotcha.
But then this year we pivoted our event schedule by seeing the opportunity with COVID, obviously, that there's no charity items on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've gone and bought, we've done 16 already, Mondays and Tuesdays, and then offered them out to our members to bring clients and guests. And they've been wildly successful. I mean, this year alone, I think we've done over $400,000 worth of revenue for the club. It's all passed through. We price it as low as we can. And it's been some of the top clubs in the Northeast. And we've had over 1,200 participants playing with our members and their guests, which has been really, really successful.
Wow. I'm sure the clubs were pretty happy with that, considering the lost revenue they've had from the lack of Monday outings.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and again, the way we ran them, because of COVID, it kind of it highlighted something that was very, very different, where we basically ran them with no staff. So we did one at one club where they had a starter, they had someone in the halfway hut, and then we had tea times from 8 a.m. through to 3 o'clock. And so basically they were able to get drinks out there. This was right at the beginning. So we weren't breaking any of the rules.
Sure.
They were able to get a cocktail and some drinks out there. But because it was tea times, there was never any more than like 12 people gathered in any area. And when I say 12 people, I mean sat at a patio table outside.
Right, so sure.
That's given. And then for the club's point of view, the margin on these events have to have been, very high margin events, because they're not having to bring any staff in. Because we had our staff on site, because we want to be, a big part of being a virtual club. One of the downsides, we don't get the FaceTime. So this is a great opportunity for us to really spend a quality time with our members. And I think tee times are always better than a shotgun. Shotgun, I don't enjoy playing shotgun golf personally.
I want to just, talk a little bit about the golf model. Obviously, how is Aligo sort of fit into the landscape of private golf per se, and how has that changed since the pandemic sort of descended upon us in March?
Well, we don't do any advertising whatsoever. Because of the privacy of the clubs, we want to protect the integrity of the memberships we work with.
Yeah.
And our membership. But it's interesting, because we're actually a partner to the golf clubs we work with. We don't want to compete with any of the clubs, and we definitely try not to, and we're pretty successful at it. I mean, we partner with these clubs because we're essentially a paying marketing partner. Now, this year's been very tricky, because our usage is up 60%, and we had a busy year last year, so we're up 60-70% in usage. And don't forget, our usage is unused inventory at other golf clubs.
Sure.
Now, most golf clubs, I mean, right now the golf industry is thriving, it feels like.
Yep.
I'm not sure if that's a false positive.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you try and buy junior and ladies clubs, you can't buy them anywhere. Just like bicycles, my friend owns a bike store. He's had his best year ever, and he's hit his numbers, and it's only July.
Sure.
And I think that's happening all around with golf. I just am unsure how it's going to level out when January comes around and people have to pay their renewals. I don't know what that means, because right now everyone's paid their dues. So is that why they're playing so much golf, or is golf now become, which I hope, an integral part of their life? That's what I'm hoping happens.
Sure.
Now with us, we've got a little snapshot into what's going on, because we our renewals come around, depending on when you join. If you join now, your renewal will be in 12 months. So we've been renewing and losing people throughout the entire year. And it's actually been pretty solid, to be honest. We've done mm-hmm. very well. We're very upbeat. And just like any business owners, I'm sure it's a scary time. We weren't sure what was going to happen at some point this year, you know?
Sure.
Would we even be able to play golf? But yeah, our members have embraced the change. And in the most part, it's been a fantastic year for golf, obviously taking aside the heartbreak for a lot of people. As I say, I think rounds are up, you know, historically over 100% at some golf courses.
Oh, I mean, I could tell you numbers that are that I've talked to people in public and private that are just staggering in terms of the number of rounds they're up. I find it remarkable that you guys are up 60%. Given the fact that most golf courses, it seems like you can't get a tee time just because they're so packed. And I know Mondays are typically, per se, are shut down days, but I'm sure golf courses have opened up their Mondays. But to be, you know, just to accommodate the amount of play that they've seen over the last couple of months, but to be up 60% speaks to, I think, the model of your program and the quality of the membership.
I think it also speaks to the quality of the partnerships we have with our clubs.
Sure.
Because I think the clubs understand that if they want to do business with us, which most of them do, you've got to be a good partner. And we've been a phenomenal partner to the clubs. I think they know our members. They know there won't be any issues. And I think the clubs are also starting to be, you know, the clubs we work with are being run more like businesses now. And as much as they want to take care of their members, which they are, and everyone's getting out, they also probably know they're losing so much revenue from the weddings and the bar mitzvahs and the outings. And so they're trying to look ahead as well as take care of the right now. And I think their clubs have done a good balance. I mean, there's a few clubs we didn't get open with this year or yet, but it's understandable because of how busy they are. So
sure.
It's been a little bit of an adjustment, and we've been trying to, you know, adjust our members that want to play Friday every week. It's like, well, every day is almost Friday anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah. So let's change our patterns a little bit because, you know, the clubs are, Friday is the busiest day in the golf industry by a million miles.
Okay.
It's become the new Saturday, Sunday. Friday is outrageously busy, and even pre-COVID.
Sure.
I think with double income families, I think, and, you know, golf being majority male played, I think the guys can get away with playing on Friday without being expected to be home, whereas Saturday, Sundays, it's tougher now.
Sure.
Because, you know, husband and wife are both working, both having a tough week, and not that the wife wouldn't, but yeah, it's definitely changed. The Fridays we've seen are just very, very busy everywhere.
What do you think? So you've got Illego Europe, you've got Philadelphia, New York, and then Philadelphia now. How do you feel the expansion is going? Do you feel like it's, you know, how much more room do you have to expand, or do you want to expand? What's the future of Illego?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm just trying to get through today right now. I'm working 9 days a week right now. We have Europe, as you said, we have New York, we have Philadelphia. We actually just launched our national program, a soft launch.
Okay.
Basically we've seen through, I think, social, platforms, you know, specifically Instagram, the desirability to play all over the country now, because they see a picture of a golf course, has become huge.
Mm-hmm.
And we run a concierge. Part of our membership is a concierge to help our members get on golf courses when they're traveling out of the region where they live. And the requests are getting more obscure, and you know, I think our members are seeing these pictures on Instagram and these other kind of sites, you know, like with your Links Gems with John Cavalier, and they're like, I got to go and play this place.
Sure.
And so we saw that we were getting inquiries about Illego from, you know, far and wide. And we saw the opportunity that basically we could launch a national membership, which is set up for people that live over 150 miles outside of our hub cities. And it's been a soft launch, and it's going pretty nicely so far, to be honest. And, you know, our goal is to, you know, add on to those 20 events we're going to run, continue now. Next year, we're going to do the same thing as we did this year. I've already spoken to the clubs. We're also going to be running events around the country, if, again, travel is permitted.
Yeah, and that's a good point that you made that I don't think is spoken about enough, and it's the impact that people like Lynx Gems, John Cavalier, who I've gotten to know over the years, and super guy, but his impact alone is pretty, I don't think can be spoken about enough. His pictures are stunning, and they create a lot of conversation and a lot of want to go see these places.
Yeah, I think I 100% agree, and I think it's fascinating how I've been in the States about 14 years, and there were golf courses that I played back early on when I got here where you cannot have your phone out to take a picture. You know, not allowed to take any pictures.
Sure.
And so, you know, I think about, you know, I've been fortunate enough, I played Pine Valley a couple of times, and when I first played it, I didn't have any idea what I was walking into.
Yeah.
Because there were no pictures around. Now you got I think it's the Golf Digest did that flyover.
Yeah.
Now I could see everything. So if I was, I would love to go back to that first time I played it and the feelings I had. But if I was playing it for the first time, I would know what it looked like now, just like Pebble Beach and some of the other famous golf courses.
Sure.
So I think that's, you know, the clubs are moving in a direction to allow, and I don't know why they wouldn't, because they want to be proud of what they've got, and they can still be private. They can still say, look, we're no one a company. We're not allowing people in. This is who we are, and this is how we're going to be. But if you want to appreciate some of the pictures of our holes, here you go. And I think that can, you know, gives people these aspirations and these kind of like bucket lists of golf courses that they may never get to play, which is sad, but it's also kind of fun to always have that carrot out there trying to figure out how to get on.
Absolutely. And that's part of, I think, just to circle back to Aligo, I mean, that's part of what Aligo also is creating, these relationships with these members and friends, that these newly made friends that, you know, maybe then that does happen. Maybe you get on a golf course that you maybe normally ordinary wouldn't have access to. But not only would you get on it, but you'd get on it with somebody that you know and be able to enjoy the golf course with a friend and amongst the, and have the camaraderie that golf is meant to have, and have an enjoyable time.
Yeah, that definitely has happened, Anthony. It's not something we don't push our members that are members of clubs to do that. But yeah, as you said, when they become friends, I've definitely heard of, we've got members that are at some great clubs and they've hosted other members, and it's just nice to see.
Sure.
But you know, the majority of our access and what we do is all front door access with the GMs and the head professionals through the boards. And yeah, we've been successful at getting on a lot of clubs, and we want to make sure that we're sending our members places where they're welcome and where the clubs are open to that kind of play. And yeah, and there's most clubs are. I mean, even Cypress Point takes two unaccompanied groups a day. So, you know, very, very high-end clubs do take unaccompanied groups.
Sure. How can people find
I have not been able to get anyone on Cypress Point.
Yeah, we got to have that disclaimer. That was going to be my next question. No, I'm just kidding. But how can people find you, and how can people find out more about the membership? Where do they go, and what do they do?
Yeah, that's great. We are an invitation-only private club, but we're open to sharing and talking to people about what Aligo is.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to our website, aligoclub.com, or send us an email. And then on there, there's an email service where you can just click on and send your details, and we'll get in touch. The email, I believe, is membership@aligoclub.com.
Fantastic. This is Tom. It's been a pleasure to talk to you again. Always fun to see how the growth of Aligo has been coming along, and I really appreciate your time.
No, thank you so much. It's great to be here, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you, and you as well. All right, folks, that was the CEO of Aligo Golf, Tom Guy. Always a pleasure to talk to, really one of the good people in golf, and look forward to see how Aligo transforms and evolves over time. It's obviously off to a very strong start, and not hard to imagine given the quality of people that are involved in the company itself. So that's it for today. Thank you for joining me. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.